live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Lee Chambers.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Right, well, this evening at the Junction, Lucy Porter, the comedian Lucy Porter, will be doing her stand-up show, Be Prepared. It's her 15th hour of solo stand-up, and I talked to her a little earlier. This tour called Be Prepared, what should we be prepared for, Lucy?
I mean, you've got to appreciate how embarrassing it was for me that I had called the tour Be Prepared and started doing it in March 2020 because... I mean, obviously, I think I'd done about 4 or 5 dates when the tour got pulled, as did everything else. But yeah, there is something really embarrassing about having to put up signs everywhere saying Be Prepared has been cancelled due to unforeseen circumstances. So yeah, so it's about preparedness, but clearly it's about the fact that I am not very prepared for life and I do not predict things like global pandemics, but also I was a brownie and I talk a lot about that. And, you know, the brownies teaches you to lend a hand and be prepared and all of those things. And I feel I've let myself down, that I'm not the woman that the brownie I was would have expected me to become, if you see what I mean. So it's a lot about that, really.
And it's amazing. I was a brownie as well and a guide. And it's amazing how those things stay with you, don't you know? I think I could repeat the little mantra that you say when you sworn in, you know, all these years later.
Yeah.
Although it did put me off camping for life. Do you have good memories of being a brownie or a guide?
Largely I do. I think I couldn't do the show if I'd absolutely hated it. There is a sort of warm nostalgia. And I think, like a lot of people, and certainly a lot of people who've come to the show, I really enjoyed certain aspects of it. And I love getting my badges and I love doing all the first aid and giving people mouth to mouth whether they wanted it or not. And then there were things, I, like you, was not a brilliant camper. And in adult life, I would have to be dragged kicking and screaming to a campsite. My husband keeps trying to make me. He's got a tent in the garage and he gets it out and I run a mile. So, yeah, I definitely it was a sort of up and down experience for me. But broadly speaking, I enjoyed it. And my kids now, they're in the scouting movement. They go to, well, they're, one of them's in Scouts and one's in Cubs now. But I talk about when they first started and they were little beavers, which I have a lot of fun with because I find that hilarious for reasons your adult listeners might understand. I've handed on the idea that this is a good thing to do with your time. And in the show, we kind of talk about the good and bad aspects of it and whether scouting and guiding are a bit anachronistic and dusty or whether they're still relevant to the modern age. So that's quite an interesting part of the show.
Because it has changed a bit since my day, I think. I mean, because I remember doing my homemaker's badge, for example,
yes,
which I don't think you'd have now.
I know, because I was in the gnomes and our little slogan was, here we are, the cheerful gnomes, helping mother in our homes. And obviously it's all very different. You know, within the space of our lifetimes, it's become very different. But I have a little joke in the show where I say the brownies are so woke now, they have a Smashing the Patriarchy badge. And obviously if you get that badge, your dad has to sew it onto your uniform, which is, I mean, that's stretching the truth a bit, but it's, but definitely they have moved with the times. And it's been, what's been really nice about doing this show is that I have met a lot of people who are involved in scouting and guiding now, and they can sort of tell me what's changed and what's the same. And there is a nice continuity that it's still, you still jump over a toadstool and, you know, you still do a lot of the same badges, but then there are also things that are much more modern and with it about, and they don't say with it, you see, that's how with it they are.
And this is your 15th hour, is that right, of solo stand-up material? Well done, congratulations.
Gosh, when you put it like that, yeah, I should get some sort of long service medal or, you know, but yeah, 15 stand-up shows. Maybe when I get to 24, I should retire. That might be a good time. When I've done a full day of stand-up, then I can leave it. But I love it. It's my favourite thing in the world because I do other bits of writing and telly and radio and things, but... stand up, there's something, especially having not been able to do it, it's just made me realize how much I really love a live audience and being able to think of a joke in the afternoon and then tell it that evening and see whether it's any good or not. So yeah, there's loads about it that I love.
And if you look back to that first hour and the current hour, how has your writing and performing changed over that time?
Oh gosh, well, I mean, I'm certainly a bit more cynical and a lot more tired, and but No, not really. I am the same person that I was when I wrote that first hour. Although my first hour of comedy, I remember I did try to do some comedy characters where I would put on a selection of hats and wigs. And I was Binky Felsted Grebe, who was like a sort of it girl. Because at the time, there were all those people like Tara Palmer Tomkinson and stuff. And then I did a sort of new age spiritual guru called Scorpio Rising. And it was terrible. I look back on those things and you think, oh my goodness, I'm not an actor. I cannot do accents. I don't know what I was thinking. But, you know, we all live and learn, don't we? So if you come and see this show, I occasionally attempt the odd accent, but more in hope than expectation, really.
The thought of doing stand-up for most people would just be terrifying. Do you feel that? Do you have that edge on you and do you need it to be able to do it?
Well, do you know, I recently have been talking to one of my children has been suffering a little bit from anxiety. I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying. And it's been sort of interesting thinking about my relationship with stress and anxiety, because I now don't really get nervous at all. And it's and then I sort of thought, gosh, that's really worrying. And then I realised, actually, no, of course I do get anxious, but I'm just so used to dealing with it that I can squish down any feelings of terror and dread. And then what I get instead is I get the lovely reward at the end, because when the adrenaline pumps through you, you've still got that going around. When you step off stage, it's the best feeling in the world because you're full of adrenaline and you've achieved something. So I've been trying to sort of say to my children that one of the great things about getting older is you can be scared without being scared. And that's, I feel like I've reached a very sort of zen place in my life.
And the landscape in terms of women doing stand-up must have changed quite a bit since you first started.
Absolutely, hugely, thank goodness. Yeah, so I mean, I was hugely inspired when I was a kid by seeing people like Victoria Wood and Jo Brand on television. And then when I started doing comedy, I thought, well, there's more women now and this is great. But then that didn't really, for ages it was like, well, there were loads of women doing comedy but they weren't really breaking through into TV, and you know, just it seemed to be a tough world. And now thankfully things are an awful lot easier and there are loads of brilliant women with their own shows, like, you know, Sarah Pascoe and Aisling B and Sarah Kendall, Roisin Conaty and Sophie Willan, and I mean, you know, I could go on. I could go on and on. So yeah, I think things are much better, different, and hopefully, I mean, still people say, oh, you know, it's so, comedy's so woke these days and it's all very right on and stuff, but actually it's still quite hard for women and people of colour and to sort of get on. So it is changing and I am pleased about that, but we shouldn't be complacent.
And I speak to you, Lucy, as a fellow 4'11" person.
Yes,
and I love you too. You know, that's an added pressure, actually. It's quite hard to hold a room to assert yourself when you are, you know, sometimes half a foot shorter than everybody else.
Well, when they literally can't see you. I mean, I've been in rooms where they're, if people are sitting on tall stools, then you've got a whole sort of swathe of the audience who are just basically listening to a radio show. So, yeah, that can be difficult. But then my husband is 6'5", and I've seen the other side of it, you see, Nellie, because I see that if you're that big, then everyone immediately looks at you and goes, right, what now? Even in any sort of crisis, it's incredible. People look at my husband because they're like, well, you're very tall. You must know what to do. And I'm betraying no secrets here when I tell you my husband is useless. He's an actor. I mean, he's got very few transferable skills. So in some ways, I think what you can do if you're very short is you can surprise people and you can subvert their expectations. So that's what I've always tried to do. And also loads of comedians are very short. I think there is something about we've got something to prove. Often youngest children and very short people either become dictators or stand-up comedians. And I'm glad I chose the path I did.
And what about Cambridge? Have you been to Cambridge before? Do you have fond memories of it?
I mean, I feel now like it's my second home. The Junction should really have some sort of plaque in the foyer saying this is where Lucy Porter sits and drinks her glass of white wine after the show. Yeah, I mean, it's such a beautiful city. And over the years, I mean, I've had some amazing times in Cambridge all over the place, but it has the last few years basically revolved around the Junction and the delightful Premier Inn and Travelodge.
Very lovely.
Around the, yeah, so I don't see the more aged end of Cambridge so much these days, but I do always enjoy what I can only describe as a very erudite, witty, and indeed sexually attractive crowd.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Do you notice the differences? On a serious note, do you notice the differences between towns and between areas of the country? Because you're performing the same material night after night. Do you see a difference in regions?
Yeah, not as much as one might think, though. And I think you would be hard-pressed to define it. I think there are certain things... I tell you what was interesting, and this is, I probably shouldn't say this because it's going to sound incredibly, it's reopening an old wound, but I did find in the lead up to the Brexit referendum that all my sort of friends who don't do stand up, who don't travel as much, were going, oh yeah, it's definitely going to be Remain, it's going to be Remain. And I was like, no, I have listened to audiences and I know what's going on. So I kind of thought, no, it's definitely not going to be a Remain landslide. And then for a little while after the referendum, you could tell if you were in a Remain or a Leave town, just because anything you said, you sort of felt like everyone was waiting to go, oh my God, is she going to talk about it? Is she going to talk about Brexit in one way or another? And I'm very pleased to say that in my experience since the pandemic, it feels like that slight tension has dissipated. And I think we've all realised that there are more important things in life. And I suppose it has been a bonding experience. But that's, you know, there are regional differences. But I think actually it's more there are national moods. And sometimes the national mood is whimsical and playful. Sometimes, like after the Brexit referendum, it's a little bit tense. And then sometimes, like now, I think it's a kind of sense of hope and optimism. And I think people are really excited about getting out and doing stuff again. And it's been lovely to do shows. I hope it may continue. Obviously, we don't know, you know, where things are going to go. But fingers crossed, we can just all relax and enjoy ourselves from now on.
Welcome to Cambridge. I hope you enjoy your time. I hope you do get to see more than the premiere in and some of the nice parts.
Well, yeah, luckily, I think I might actually be able to stay overnight this time, because often I'm having to race back for childcare. So the last few years, everywhere I've been, it's been a whistle stop tour. But I am looking forward to having a proper day and night out in Cambridge. And I've got friends there as well. So I'm going to try and tap them up and go for a beer.
Oh, if you see her, give her a wave. Lovely to talk to her. Lucy Porter, and she's at the Junction tonight with her show Be Prepared. If you want to find out more information, buy a ticket, then it's junction.co.uk. It's 10:40.
Cambridge 105 Radio.